We can take a few minutes to talk a little bit about this sitting, this loving kindness practice. So just your experience in the sitting or any questions about the technique. Yeah.
I think about how much I love my niece, and I try to like extend the same love to myself. But yeah, that's something I really have difficulty with in this kind of meditation. Mm-hmm.
So. I think that's really skillful what you said, and that's why we use the other categories. And it's usually easier to open to the easiest category to open to, they say, is benefactor and then dear friend. So your niece would probably fall into the category of dear friend. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have as many issues with others as we do with ourselves. So, one thing I would suggest doing is like work with your niece, you know, practice with that because it'll help you open to yourself, right? I would try to, and maybe you're doing this, but try to be aware, mindful of the distinction between your wish to be happy and love for yourself, because they're a little different, right? The wish that you have to be happy is an expression of love to yourself. So as you remember your wish to be happy, that leads, you know, it's very close, but it leads you into feeling self-love. But it's a lot, the way, you know, it's like cause and effect, the Buddha taught. So the way to get into the heart and that feeling of love is to connect to your wish to be happy. So your purpose in the meditation is your wish to be happy, not so much to feel love for yourself. I mean, that'll arise when it arises. The felt sense of your wish to be happy will arise when it arises. I would really, you see the difference between the two things? They're slightly different. So it's like this wish, you know, we have this wish inside of ourselves. So see if you can connect to that felt sense of the wish as opposed to the feeling of self-love. Again, they're close, but they're slightly different.
Thanks.
I mean, it's hard for with ourselves, you know? I would also notice, like, if there's thoughts in the mind of, I can't do this, or negative thoughts about yourself, you know, notice if that's there, you know? Because that obviously is going to block you off. It's hard, you know, it requires a lot of practice. That's why the categories are good. Usually what I try to do all the categories in the morning. I've been doing this every morning for almost 30 years, usually for 10 or 15 minutes. And I'll try to do all the categories, but usually, as I alluded to, something resonates, you know, and I might kind of, so, and oftentimes it's, you know, a family member or a friend. Sometimes it's the guy who lives down the corridor in my building, you know? So what, you know, Sharon used to always say, the easiest possible way, whatever works. So whatever helps you to start to connect, do that. But you have to work with yourself too. In many ways, yourself is the hardest. Yes.
So along those same lines, I think, when I think of happiness, I think of self-acceptance and, that being that the idea that most, if not all of us, have some reasons for not fully accepting ourselves, and at least I'll speak for myself anyway, for a variety of reasons. And and I wonder whether, you know, one can ever really truly be happy without to some degree sort of dropping a lot of the things that kind of, you know, that we carry with us that keep us from fully accepting
ourselves. This is going to be a little bit of a fine tune. Yeah, I mean, I see your question too. And I'm going to speak more about that. There is self-acceptance, I wouldn't put under the category of love for yourself. It's technically, and it is, a quality of equanimity, right? So, which is a hard quality, but usually we think about equanimity more in terms of the jhana quality. So equanimity sort of like gives you enough space so you can see when there's self-acceptance, you know? You can see when there's non-acceptance, and you can see when there's those thoughts of negativity, and you know, you have enough space between, you know, your observation of yourself and yourself, so there can be, you know, room for looking at yourself non-judgmentally. So it's really a function of equanimity, self-acceptance. But I don't think that was quite your question anyway. Your question was more about, can we really be happy, right?
Kind of, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So again, kind of, if you go back to what I said this morning, that's a function of the actions that you take. So, you know, I think it was Suzuki Roshi many, many years ago said, you know, there aren't any enlightened beings, there's only enlightened action, you know? So what we're striving for is more, and I'm going to talk about this at the end of the day, more loving action towards ourselves, you know? Until you're fully awakened, which probably will be not today, maybe next week, there's always going to be some combination of self-aversion or aversion, desire in the heart, and your ability to connect to love and take action from love. But what we're trying to do is a little bit less aversion and a little bit more action that's coming out of love. And just a little bit makes a huge difference, you know? So enough to the point where, and this is my own personal experience, enough to the point where you can take actions in your life that are in support of your heart, that are really in support of your deepest truth, so that you can live your life authentically, so that you can live your life in a way that you're fulfilling your wish to be happy. You know, there's always going to be challenges there, and you're always going to be fraught. It's always going to be things that are difficult, but you're at least, you know, living in accord with your heart, you know? So, you know, as I developed this practice, you know, I had a 9-to-5 corporate job. It was a good job. It wasn't a bad job. For a lot of people who I worked with, they loved that job. It was great for them. They were totally, it was like, people would say, that's what you're doing? You know, it was like, I did that for, you know, to conform, like somebody said earlier, or I didn't know any better, you know. And as I got more in touch with the heart, I was like, this isn't love for myself, you know. Well, what is? Well, started New York Insight, you know, became a teacher, you know. Was that easy? Was that not fraught with challenges? Of course it was. But at least I was on the path. I was moving in the right direction, and there's a great happiness in that. So and that's what we're striving for, you know.
And I guess even if we're not as happy as, you know, we imagine, we could still all be a little bit happier,
right,
than we are.
So. Yeah, and I would real, but the heart of the point that I'm making, and I think this is really important, is don't think about happiness as a mind state. You know, it's like, I'm happy, you know. Think about it as an act, as actions that you're taking and the quality of those actions. That's what brings real happiness to the heart. You're talking more about happiness more as an emotion almost, which it has its value. But we're talking about the real true happiness of the heart is something a little different, you know, than I think what you're talking about, which is more of like felt sense. I mean, that happiness is a felt sense too, but it's different. It's the happiness that comes when you're taking actions that are in support of your best wishes for yourself. You see the difference?
Sure, I do.
And that's discernment, you know. So, you know, it's easy for me to say that, but you know, it's something you have to kind of feel and to know that, you know? But that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do. It goes back to, I think, you know, Sarah's question earlier. You know, the more you get in touch, the more connected you are with the heart, the more you know what actions to take, and the more you are able to take those actions because you're in touch with loving kindness and you can move forward from there, you know? And as I said before, when you're really connected, you know, that quality of loving kindness helps to get you past the fear that really is what usually stands in the way of us taking action that's in our best interests. The fear is the other side of, you know, the heart's wishes, you know.
Thank you.
So thinking in terms of action is really important, because we all do that. It's like, oh, I'm not happy today, you know? Think in terms of action. Think in terms of action. Yeah.
When you talk about a felt sense, so while I was focusing on my breathing and my intention and my wish to be happy, I could feel something physical. I don't know if I was feeling my heart beating.
Mm-hmm.
I think I kind of was, but it felt... it felt different, and it mm-hmm. felt like something that was coming alive.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what you mean by a felt sense?
Yeah, and I think the issue there is sort of like you're questioning it, so that's where the good enough comes in. You know, am I really feeling this? Good enough, I am. I'm going to go with this. You know, I'm going to go with this. It's weird, because like I always was able, I don't know, because like some things in life I could be really skeptical, but you know, it was like, I don't know if I was just so wanted to feel that in my heart, you know, but I would start to feel like almost exactly like what you're talking about, and there'd be a voice in my mind. That's not your wish to be. I was like, shut up. I need to feel this, you know? So, yeah, I would try to suspend. I would definitely go with that.
Okay.
I would totally go with that, yeah.
All right, great. Thank
yeah.
you.
And the more you do it, you'll deepen into... you know, an awareness of the felt sense, and it'll become more... The idea is we want it to be... Now, again, you have to be present. You have to be in the body, like what I was saying this morning. If you're not with the breath and in the body, it's going to be really hard to connect. But the more you get into the breath and the body, you know, you want that to it to be right there, you know? It's like, you know, you're connected to that, you know? Like I said, when you're in the body and concentration is good, your awareness is... So, like, you're coming right from here, and there's that sense of it. So that's why you have to really... That's why we're working to really polish this. But good. That sounds good. I think that was actually a really great description of how you start to get that sense of it.
Yeah.
Nat?
This might take me a little while to get to the question, but my, especially with this sit, I can quite easily draw up the felt sense for myself and for benefactors and friends, and it can be very intense and powerful. When I get to neutral people, the feeling is, you know, something mm-hmm. comes and goes. When it gets to all beings, it's quite powerful. When it gets to someone I dislike a little bit, it's not very powerful. But what tends to me to happen is that in this sit, I got a little exhausted because I find maintaining the felt sense quite tiring.
Mm-hmm.
And when I usually do my metta sits in the mornings, it's 5 minutes, and I basically only get through two categories, myself
yeah, yeah,
and other
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
And the feeling is very intense, it's very pleasant, the felt mm-hmm. sense is great. But in this one, and especially longer metta, when I'm focusing on the felt sense, it feels like I want to turn the dial all the way up. You know, mm-hmm. like I want it to be as intense as possible
mm-hmm.
and keep it as long as possible. That's very tiring. And
yeah,
I think
yeah.
it's because I see a bit of a parallel with the breath. When mm-hmm. you have very strong ease, there's a sense you want to make it really powerful
yeah,
throughout
yeah,
the
yeah,
whole
yeah.
body. But listening to what you're saying, both about touching in and also just about maintaining and it being good enough, I sense that's maybe not the right approach.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're sort of answering your own question. I mean, what I would say is like, what's the quality of the mind that wants it to be really intense? You know, is that skillful or not?
You probably know? Mostly not skillful.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I mean, it, you know, it's sort of like on the surface, it seems like a good intention, but there's a quality of pushing and forcing that is sort of unskillful, right? So, I mean, and I noticed that with myself. So it's sort of like, I'll just say trying too hard. It's the same thing like with an easeful breath, right? Trying too hard. That's sort of my mantra when I'm doing metta practice, because it's a very subtle art. So it's like trying too hard. If you find the right amount of effort, then you connect, right? It does require a lot of energy, like you said. So, you know, part of the problem, you know, if you're really pushing it too hard, you know, you're not using your energy wisely. You know, you're using too much energy, you know, because it does require a lot of energy. So it's very subtle. Like in this setting, it was just like a little, it was just a soft, it was just very, a little flicker, I touched into that. I mean, my mind is bright being here today, you know, and so it felt good, but it was just, you know, and there was a part, at one point I said, see if you can real, no, just, all right, this, you know, so just try to bow to, you know, just what you said, just touching in, letting it be there. If your energy is getting low, go back to the breath, you know, ground yourself. So it's just watch that quality of the mind, you know? It's sort of at odds, right? You know, it's like we're trying to create metta, and we're doing that in a way that's slightly not metta, you know?
Kind of related, though, is natural meditation or in daily life, I also have a similar thing where I can feel bursts of quite strong felt metta in my interactions with people and my actions. But so is the idea in daily life that the quality should be a bit quieter and subtler in that sense? Like it's throughout the whole...
I mean, when you describe it that way to me it sounds like it's getting merged a little bit with some emotional qualities probably. You know, because the metta tends to be more subtle, you know? And, you know, that just that little touching in and that subtle quality is all you need. That's very powerful, you know? You don't need to feel... I mean, that's more like when you're developing concentration practice, you know, and you want to develop absorption with metta. But in this kind of a practice, it's not going to be for concentration. It's more... It's what Michelle would call parami practice, you know? You're learning to develop your awareness of the quality of metta so that, you know, you're in touch with that. So you're in touch with that feeling. You know that feeling. It's there. But it's not like it has to be exploding. It's more like you have a sense of it. Now, you want it to be, you want it to develop and get stronger, but it's not like you're going for some kind of absorption like that. That's not really so much for metta. It's more for concentration. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I would just be careful of that, you know, and the idea is you just want to touch in. You just want to touch in. You just want to touch in. I mean, that's what I'm striving for, is just to find that little bit of light and put my mind on that, and then whatever happens from that is out of my hands. My purpose is just to find that little bit of light, just like what Adrian was talking, put my attention on that, shine the light of my awareness on that. It's like, all right, there's that little sprig growing out of the ground, and then how it flowers is gonna do it on its own, you know? My purpose is to get my awareness on that. The way I would look at this daily metta practice is drops, you know? It's like, can I touch in a little bit today? Can I touch in a little bit tomorrow? Can I touch in these different times? Can I do it? And so it's like you're developing it that way, you know? It's just, you know, a drop here, a drop. It's just like insight. It is insight, right? A little bit of insight into impermanence here, a little bit here, and then you start to under. So you just keep touching in. You keep touching in. You know. You just keep shining the light of awareness on those little flickers, and that's how it develops. You know. So what I'm saying is, you know, like it'll. It's like the metaphor of growing a plant is good because it's sort of like you can do. Create conditions, but it's going to grow on its own. It's the same thing with metta. You're creating conditions. Part of that is putting your awareness on it, but just allow it to grow on its own. I mean, you're doing good. I mean, just, you know, but it's refining the skill. You know, it's a skill, so you're refining the skill. Anybody else? Diana? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're using a lot of terminology here.
I have to say, I really don't get the word loving kindness. I don't even like it. To me, it sounds like a cliche. And I think, what's the matter with, why can't I just wish love for myself? Mm-hmm. I don't hear that. Is there some, just as a practical matter, is it more effective or skillful to think of loving kindness? Then I thought, well, maybe I'll take the word apart, because love I can understand, and then kindness, but those are separate things, and I'm just...
And you have to be really careful about getting caught up in terminology. To me, it's more of, you know, a felt sense of things. A couple of suggestions, though, and I would really go back to what I said, I think it was to Hayden, right?
See, I want to feel love.
What's that?
I want to feel love for myself.
Right.
But is it the happiness first?
Right.
That...
But what I would really focus on is your wish to be happy, you know, and don't worry so much. You know, what arrives, because, you know, we use that word, and it's sort of like what I was just saying to him and even to Nat to some extent. It's like, to a large extent, I don't think we really know. You know, we're finding out what that is and what that feels like. So, you know, sometimes when you use words, like love is a charged word.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I would really mostly focus on your wish to be happy, and then the felt sense that arises out of that. I mean, I tend to think of it more as warmth. You could use the word metta, which doesn't have a lot of... My teacher uses the word goodwill, mm-hmm. because the thing of it is like you start using love, all right, I feel love towards mm-hmm. this person, but what about the guy who lives down the hall? You know, it's not really love, it's goodwill. I wish them well. You wishing yourself well. So I would think of it more almost in terms of goodwill. It took me a long time to understand that. And the wish to be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, you wish yourself true happiness. You wish mm-hmm. each of those beings true happiness.
And then whatever evolves from that, whatever those feelings are, it may not even be an issue. It's the warmth. It's the goodwill.
The words are really tricky.
I'm tricked up.
I kind of struggled with that when I was writing the book that I wrote, you know, and actually these instructions for Met, again, advertisement number 6, are in that book, the instructions that I just gave. But I really struggled with that, you know, the terminology, you know, and I try to explain, you know, it, but it can be tricky, particularly when you start getting into love and loving kindness. So,
is there when we're going fast and we're learning and listening to people, is there a word I can substitute in my head every time I hear loving kind, happiness maybe, or just...
Yeah, I would think the wish, I would really focus on the wish to be happy.
I'm with it.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that's really what it is. It's, you know, you wish true happiness for yourself. That's what love is, you know? Because we have all these ideas. What is love? We wish true happiness. What's love for another person? We wish true happiness for that person. I mean, that might be different than, you know, the societal definition of what love is, but, you know, it's a good inquiry, right? You know, to think about. Any other questions? Yeah. And then we'll take one more and then we'll need to move on.
Yeah, my question is about the wish to be happy. I mean,
uh-huh.
because I understand that most of us probably at some point hated ourselves or wouldn't have come to these rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that, and I'm good with the difficulties of struggling with love for myself. It's the most difficult thing for me to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the wish to be happy, it seems almost tautological. Tautological.
Uh-huh.
Like, of course I want to be happy. It's just like, you know, people have said to me, well, you obviously... you know, must be a masochist. You like to be in pain. Of course, I don't want to be in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm not sure. I don't understand the nuance of wishing to be happy. I understand that we might not know what happiness is, and that we might confuse the emotional happiness with a more deeper, genuine
mm-hmm.
happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever that is, of course, we all want that. Don't we?
The idea of the wish to be happiness is, you know, again, you have to find out for yourself, is said to be a kaliko. It's the Dharma. It's the way things are. It's in the heart. You find it inside of yourself. So it's not something that you're creating. I mean, the next meditation we do might help a little bit with it. You need to try to connect to it and get a felt sense of the heart and that wish to be happy. And then, you know, it's sort of like starting to inquire, like, well, what is a manifestation of that? You know, it goes back to the question again. Well, what is an expression of my wish to be happy? You know, have I experienced that before? And then as you look at the actions you're taking, you know, are they in support of being happy? So, what does that mean? You know, it really comes down to what is happiness, right?
Right.
You know, which is, it's not an intellectual idea. It's not really an emotional idea. It's something that transcends that. There is a felt sense of it, but it's a lot different than what we think about when we think about happiness. That's why I was trying to refine it with him. I don't know if I'm quite answering the question, but after he asked the question, I kind of thought about one way to describe it. I have a lot of students who are artists. I'm a writer. When I'm writing and just writing, you know, there's that quality of happiness, you know? There's a smooth flow of energy. There's a sense of serenity and tranquility. In my body, there's a quality of peace, you know? I mean, the Buddha said peace is the greatest happiness that there is. So it's different than, oh, I'm writing, this is great, you know? But it's this deep quality of like being really, truly connected to my being, you know? That to me is much closer to what we're talking about when we're talking about happiness, you know? And, you know, so you know it by this quality of energy in the body. There's just this smooth, easeful flow of energy. The body, you know, and there's, you know, because when we're not, there's a quality of contraction, you know. So when I was doing that corporate job, it was good. I was, you know, successful. But there was always, like, a little bit of contraction there, you know? You know? I mean, the most simple way that the Buddha described true happiness was, you know, it's the alleviation of suffering, you know. So think about, you know, and the word is nibbana, right, which means the putting out of a fire, you know. So it's so different, you know, than the way that we think about happiness, which is fire, you know. It's like actually the putting out of a fire, you know, the extinguishing of the flame. You know, that's that quality. And I think your question is, I mean, your question is really important. And what I would say ultimately is that's the exploration. That's what we need to find out, you know? It's like once I started learning these things, I started asking and looking, what is happiness? Is this happiness? Is what I'm doing? Just, again, going back to what she said before, is what I'm doing in support of the heart? Is it leading me in the direction of the heart? Am I, you know, when I'm doing this, am I connected? And you keep looking and knowing and being connected that way, you know.
So it's almost as if the wish to be happy is also you're also in that wish. You're also trying to determine what that happiness
totally.
Is.
It really is.
It's more. It's much more nuanced than just the wish to be happy. It's really how do I wish to be happy?
I think the wish to be happy knows that.
Yeah.
You know, but. Because it's like it's in the citta, right? You're connected, mm-hmm. which is like knowing quality, right? So, you know, in the heart, you know what that is,
right.
You know? The trick is, of course, you got to get into the heart, you know? The first way the Buddha, I'm going to talk about this later, helped people to get to know what that is what? Practice generosity. You know, you start to feel that happy, you know, if you can give in a skillful way, you know, which is so counter. You know, usually when we practice generosity, it's not like, I just gave something, but there's that sense of inner well-being and goodness. So it's in the heart, you know, but it is, I think, the way I would answer your question is, in the heart, there's a knowing of what that is, you know, there's a knowing of what that is. Discernment is knowing what the heart is telling you, you know, but, it, you know, again, I mean, I'm adding this on because my teacher would say it. It's like, you know, that's what we're trying to learn to be able to do. That's a lot of what we're trying to do today. And a good way to learn that is in the meditation. Like I said, you know, am I meditating with love? No, there's a contraction. Oh, well, what is it like when I start meditating with loving kindness? Oh, that's what it's like. You know, it's like my knee still hurts. I got all these thoughts, but there's a different quality here, you know, of ease and of well-being. And we can do that. It's like I was sitting here, I was saying in my dyad before we started the afternoon, and it was like I was feeling contracted about the afternoon. It's like, it's like my karma. It's like, I got to teach. All of that, you know, and it's like I noticed that. Teach with love, teach with compassion, you know, and it just came into that sense of ease, and it was right there. I was like, this is what, you know. So, but that's in the heart, you know. But again, you know, what my teacher would say is you have to learn how to get into that. You know, and that's why at the beginning, you know, the wise counsel from others, like, well, this is, you know, the Buddha said generosity, ethical conduct. Sometimes you have to ask people what is the right thing to do, you know, but you need to know the right people to ask, you know. So it really is a quality of, there's a quality of discernment, you know, that's essential. But I think, you know, for me, it was like asking those questions, asking the questions you guys are asking, you know, asking, you know, and looking and paying attention. So let's do a little walking if you want to use the bathroom. So I don't know if people have done this before, but we're going to do walking, or the suggestion is do walking, but do metta in when you're doing walking. It's my favorite way to do metta, although when I usually do it, I do it. When I do retreats, I do my metta. I do a lot of self-retreats. I do metta when I do walking. So when you're doing the walking, you could set your intention, that's fine. There's a little redundancy there. But essentially what you're doing is just what we did in the sitting. I have a wish to be happy. I have a wish to be happy.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.